Hey everyone, welcome to Recovery Rocks. This episode is sponsored by the folks at Sour Humanoid Vinegar.
And Sour
when I say the folks, I mean my partner who just started this amazing vinegar brand. Sour Humanoid is designed for cooking, created by a New York City sommelier who got sober after working at Michelin-starred restaurants and curating award-winning wine lists. This vinegar is an excellent way to make any meal special with very little effort. Check out some of the easy recipes at sourhumanoid.com. And we've had Nick on an episode before. He's, you know, a fellow sober entrepreneur, and we're excited to have Sour Humanoid sponsor this episode.
It's an amazing story, and I will give a brief testimonial just because I don't cook, but I have sent Sour Humanoid gift packs as gifts over the holidays to a couple of my friends who are big cooks, and it got rave reviews. So user tested, customer tested. And all thumbs up. Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Lisa, and I am here, as always, with my most favorite, most wonderful, most poddest.
Meow! Most poddest. I like that.
Most poddest. Most
that
poddest
is I.
Goddess. Yes. How are you?
I'm good. I'm tired, but I'm good.
Yes, we need to talk about your tired but good thing because it's hitting on something I think so many, I can't imagine, I don't know anyone who doesn't, you know, sort of struggle with managing their tired and their everything else. So we wanted to hear from you about, you know, with your book coming up for launch, Almost Here, My God, and all the other things you have going on and your newsletter and, you know, particularly in adding your newsletter, I think, to your whole already overflowing schedule. Like, I've been worried about your, how you're, and you seem to be everywhere. You're doing a ton promoting the book and showing up for other people and all this stuff. Like, how are you managing what, you know, we call your energy budget? Like,
yeah.
How much juice you have in your tank for all the things that have to happen in all respects today?
I love this question, and I love the use of the word budget here because it really is budgeting. It's, you know, right now I'm being very cognizant of my energy budget, the same way I keep logging into my bank account to make sure everything's all right in there.
Oh, great analogy.
You know, I do like a mental check-in of my energy budget. Like I will look at my calendar for the week or the month or whatever. And I'm like, I make sure that I have, you know, I have nights off or time to recharge in between, events and work and all of these things, because it can be very over, it can not can be right now. It currently is very overwhelming with book promotion. And this is, you know, arguably this is like the fun part of writing a book.
I wrote you that the other day. I'm like, this is the fun part.
Yeah, like this is the fun part. At least for me, I'm an extrovert who loves event planning and marketing and brand partnerships. And I love this kind of stuff. And that's the phase that I'm in right now. And I remember, like, you know, when I got my book deal 2 years ago and, you know, had all these meetings with the publisher and everything, that, and I would ask about the marketing stage. I'd say, you know, when does it start to get really crazy? And they would say 6 to 8 weeks to publication day. That's when it's really bananas. So I'm in it. They were
You're
right.
In it. Yeah.
They were correct. And I am in it. The book comes out September 19th. So, you know, we're getting there. And so when I say crazy busy with pre-order launch, with book launch, it's pre-orders, asking people to pre-order the book, because pre-orders are insanely helpful for the publisher, for authors, for bookstores. And it's just, yeah, it's super helpful. And so part of that pre-order campaign is I launched a column where we did an episode about this recently. I launched an advice column called Beyond Liquid Courage, where we talk about where I answer questions. People submit questions about alcohol-free sex, dating, and relationships.
Did they email you? How do you get the questions?
So at first it was email or DM, but now we have a Google form. So that will be we'll put that in the show notes. So if you have questions about alcohol-free sex, dating, and relationships, you could click that Google form and send in your question. Trust me, I've heard it all. Don't be embarrassed about your question. It could be completely anonymous. We're not going to use your name. You could even come up with a fun fake name. That's a lot. But the reason I launched it is A, to boost pre-orders, and B, you know, like keep connecting with the community, but it's, you know, it's a free column, you know, it is a free resource that I'm putting out there. There is a paid version if you want more behind the scenes stuff, like that is an option, but the column itself is free, you know, because it's the goal is to help with the pre-sales. And then, you know, doing events, going on podcasts, doing all that stuff. So, now I'm going to take a nap.
I have questions.
Okay, go ahead.
So, I know that, you know, it's the value of scheduling and how you schedule and how you value it and how I do. Like, I think it's really important for us in terms of also for our recovery, like knowing that we are, you know, have a structure and where, you know, we need to be here at this time and there at that time. And then also knowing, you know, as we have over the years that we've got to take care of ourselves. So building in where we can some time to rest and to do that. And I know that that's hard in and of itself, but is it, because one of the things that was hard, I know for me when I was doing the book stuff, but just in general, when you're this booked up, right, and you're going from one thing to another, how hard is it? Like, how do you, in the course of your day, manage to do things to keep you in the present moment, right? Because you're talking about, like, you're getting interviewed on podcasts, or you're meeting with a team about whatever it is, just like anybody at work would be anybody with a busy schedule who's at work, and then they are meeting with the team. Like, how do you make sure that your head is not in another place when your plate is so full, and you know that you stay centered in the moment of where, you know, what you're doing?
I love this question. I make sure to schedule downtime in my day, and I don't want back-to-back meetings. I want like maybe 15, 20, 30 minute buffers in between meetings so I can go for a walk, eat a sandwich, talk to my partner, call a friend. Like, really, it's just feeling balanced. Like, if I fill my whole day with work, then I will feel depleted and very imbalanced when the day is over. So I, you know, yes, I'm promoting a book, but I'm also a human who has to eat and walk her dog and have time with my partner and call my family. And, you know, like, I still have to do all of these other things. So I think doing all of these other things in turn help me feel balanced and recharged. So I'm not completely depleted. You know, like, I have certain times of the week that I go to the gym, certain times of the week that I am lifting weights and doing yoga, certain times that I'm going to the dog park, you know? So it's like, I have to feel like a completely, like a full human being in order to feel balanced. And I've learned that the hard way, you know, this, you know, I struggle with work addiction. So I think reminding myself that work isn't everything, it's just one part of my life, is super, super helpful.
Yeah, no, that is good to remember that. I mean, I know for me, when I had like a ton going on at work and I'd have all these crazy meetings and all these things, like I would try to keep reminding myself that, you know, all I have is like where I am sitting right here. in this present moment, right? And everything I just kept to, okay, just take the next step. What's the next thing that has to happen? And if the next thing is I'm in this meeting, I'm going to be in this meeting and keep my head in this meeting to the extent I can. And I'm going to pay attention. For me, I had to pay attention to when I wandered, because I could be looking at somebody, listening to them. They're talking. I'm looking them straight in the eye. My mind is 1,000 miles away. And so, you know, trying to pay attention, like knowing that I get distracted like that really easily, and that I can space out and not be thinking about what I need to be thinking about in that moment, in that meeting. Once I could say that to myself, like, hey, I do this, then I could sort of start catching myself when I was doing it, right? Like, oh, wait, you know, I could say, it became easier for me to pull myself back in when I realized that I have this tendency for my mind to just go, you know, it 3 meetings ahead of this one.
Yeah. Like, which meeting am I going into right now? Which,
right.
What
is, and can I stay in this meeting right now? Like, you have a really good meditation mindfulness practice. Like, are you employing that all day?
It's very, God, this, I don't know, this might sound just like really cliche, but like, I've been a yogi for so long, 10, 12 years at this point. Yeah. So, you know, yoga and meditation. Yes, I do yoga. Yes, I meditate. But it's also the principles and the philosophy of really integrating yoga into your life. Just, they become part of your daily routine regardless. And by that, I mean, you know, being mindful, being present, asking for help, canceling if I can't do something because I know it's going to leave me either emotionally or spiritually depleted. And then, you know, continuing with the bank account analogy. But yeah, it's difficult to, when I'm in like this manic state of like next, those are the moments when, like, you know, we did an episode about my meditation closet. I'll go into my meditation closet and I'll like,
I'll zone out.
Maybe I'll pull a tarot card. Maybe I'll cry. There's times that I've literally gone in my closet
that's
and cried.
That's a great point.
You know, I'm just like, cause it's like,
that's a great point.
Yes.
Sometimes
writing a book,
you just need a good cry.
Yes, exactly. Sometimes I need a cry. Sometimes I'll go to Nick's office and I'll just be like, I need a hug.
and he's
like, okay, it's just writing a book and promoting a book is like super exciting, but it's also like, it's stressful, and I need,
it's this, a job, I keep, it's like any it's, other job,
exactly. And I think people forget that, because anything in the arts, people forget that it's a career. This is what I do for a living, and work can get stressful. So I think it's really just staying present, looking at, you know, zooming out from a macro lens and looking at what does my month look like, then breaking what does my week look like, and then, okay, what's today? What am I doing at 2:00? What am I doing at 3? Okay, cool. I have an hour and a half of free time. That's when I'm going to read a book or walk my dog or, you know, have lunch with a friend. Like, I'm also making sure that I have those things in my calendar too. I need to have lunch with friends and see how my friends are doing. I need to go to museums and go to the library and just be around. Like, the other day, Lisa, I literally just like, I had a whole bunch of plans. And I just canceled all of them and just walked around Soho. I was like, I'm going to wander through, you know, I used to work in Soho, so I'm going to wander through my old neighborhood and reflect on, you know, who I was when I was folding yoga pants on Prince and Wooster, to now there's a bookstore on that block. And so I just hung out in the bookstore, and like, I need days like that where there's nothing on the calendar and I can just be a human in New York.
Yes. Yes. And to know when you have that need, right? To say, I need to do this. You're not canceling because you're messing with somebody or you're lazy or you're doing something like that.
Yeah.
And And a lot of times, like, I would have not done that, like push through, power through. And like we always say, there's no trophy at the end for having powered through a bunch of stuff that was ultimately gonna work against you. And, you know, I think that what you're saying you did with that day is really a good reflection of another idea that we talk about on here all the time, or another thing that we always say, which is no is a complete sentence.
Mm-hmm. And does your shirt say nope?
No. This is actually from I wore this because this is from the nonprofit that you introduced me to Write Love on Her Arms. It says hope still exists.
Oh, I love that.
It's so good. Yeah. It's now my new favorite sweatshirt.
Yes, we love shirts with mental health slogans on them.
Yes. You've got the good one now from 988.
I did. I got a 988 one. I have one that says, my shirt from To Write Love on Her Arms says, show up for yourself, really big. And then underneath it says, and keep showing up for yourself.
Oh, I love that.
It's funny because that's the shirt that I get tons of comments on from people, like either on the street or at the gym or in the dog park. People are like, it's the second part. They're like, and keep showing up for yourself. That's what gets them. And I was like, great. You know, if this shirt inspired you to take care of yourself today, then happy to wear it.
That's what it's there for. That's what it's there for. You're a billboard for taking care of yourself.
And because of that, I have to in turn take care of myself. And that means budgeting my energy and saying no to things and being more intentional with what I say yes to. One of my favorite filters that I put questions through is if it's not a hell yes, it's a no.
And I love that.
That doesn't apply to everything, obviously, but it applies to a lot. And when certain things come up, I'm like, okay, am I ambivalent about this at all? Why am I ambivalent? And I can usually figure out pretty quickly it's because I don't want to do it.
Yeah. And you know what? That is a really good point. And I also like the way you're saying, like, with being, you know, if it's not a hell yes, it's a no. And this is a particular time in your life, right? We go through cycles where we're flat out and then maybe things ease up for a while, right? So maybe you'll get by, you know, the winter or whatever, at some point, some real downtime or something will ease up. You won't have to be traveling for the book.
Exactly.
So much, or whatever it is. And then it doesn't have to be such, it's almost like in the law, we refer to things getting strict scrutiny. That's a term of art in the law. And like you're using this kind of strict scrutiny on what you will and will not do right now. Whereas by, you know, the winter, you may say, I'm going to try this other thing I said no to in the fall because I didn't have time then, but I do now. So I think remembering that these times where our energy budget is taxed, remembering that it's not always going to be this way.
I love the tax element because we keep comparing it to money. So like, I actually love the idea of like, well, what is the tax that we're paying on this?
And like, doing it now, the tax could be lower 6 months from now.
Yes, that is so real. And one of our friends, Amanda Kuda, who has a book coming out in October, we're going to have her on a future episode, I'm sure. But we both have books coming out within a month of each other. So we're talking almost every day because we're in the exact same phase of our lives. And her friend threw her what she called a book shower because it's basically a baby shower, but for your book. And I think it's so kind of her friend that it's like, it's not a book launch. It's really a shower honoring the time and energy it takes to write a book. And I thought that was so thoughtful and intentional and creative to throw someone a book shower, because, you know, in life we mark these big things, having a baby, getting married, stuff like that. But like, what about people who do these really big creative things? Like Amanda wrote a book, so her friend really wanted to celebrate that for her. And she got a group of women together and they could all ask her questions about the book writing process. And I thought it was so beautiful as a way to honor, like we said, this energy budget of everything you have to say no to in order to write the book. And that is being, it's so wonderful that she took time to celebrate that work.
Yes, that is very cool. That is very cool. And I could see, like, even, you know, cause you really do, like, when people thinking about a shower, like if somebody gets a nice promotion, you take them to dinner or you do something nice, like it is a milestone, as you know, other kind of, achievements, you know, as other kind of achievements are in any area. And, you know, to me, the book was my baby. Like, I'm not having a real baby. So.
Well, yeah, exactly. And that's, I'm telling, you know, I have some friends and family flying into New York for the book launch. And I'm obviously so excited and so appreciative. And I'm letting people know, please think of this as my wedding, because I can't be a tour guide. I can't show you around New York. This is going to be probably the busiest.
Good point. Good
point. This is going to be the busiest week of my life. And I'm so glad you're there to support me. And I don't know that I'll have any time to hang out with you one-on-one while you're here. And I want people to be very aware of that, because if I don't want anyone to expect anything that I will not be able to deliver. And people have been very respectful. They're like, thank you so much for telling me. I will, you know, maybe they're going to bring a friend now, or they're going to bring their partner, because like they just had a different idea of what their time here was going to be like. So it's like, and I think that is where, like, you know, the yoga, the mindfulness comes in, of like, and therapy, of being self-aware, knowing my energy levels, knowing what I can commit to, and not trying to people please. I think the old me would have tried to people please.
Oh,
and
totally.
Be a tour guide and show people
plus
around
you would
New
have
York.
Been drinking.
I mean, it would have been a very different experience, but it really is.
Yeah.
You know, advocating for myself, because like, as corny as this sounds, is like knowing that I deserve to be advocated for now.
Yeah. And also, you know, it really hits on another point that I think, as we learn to take care of ourselves in sobriety, you know, we have grown better at doing. And I think it was important for me all through my recovery with dealing with other people, which is managing expectations, right? Like, you're sitting here with a sober, clear head, months out, looking at what's going to happen and saying, I know I need to, like, I could, when I was drinking, I could have never, like, thought ahead. And I would have had, if it was an event like that, people would have descended and I just wouldn't have slept for 3 days, and I would have disappointed everyone in some capacity. Right.
And then felt like shit for weeks recovering from it.
Like, you know? regretted how I conducted it, wished I had it to do over, like, all of that stuff. And now,
you know,
being
like, oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that managing expectations is, you know, like, I know I'm coming for the launch, but I'm not expecting to have the hangout time we normally have when I come to New York, you know, and that is, but, you know, that's easy for me because I know what you're, you know, experiencing. But the fact that you are actively managing it with people who wouldn't necessarily know what to expect.
Well, and, you know, and finding, and you're from here, so you're very, you can take care of yourself, you know, the subway system, you know, New York. So if I have someone coming who's never been to New York, like,
I can't,
like, I love you and please come and bring a friend and get a map, because like, I can't show you around.
Let me send you the link to visitnyc.org.
Yes, exactly. just make sure you know how to get to the bookstore.
Right.
But like, and it's so funny because like, you know, I had this talk with my dad a couple days ago and he was, you know, my dad's been on the podcast. He's in recovery. Yes. And, you know, we have a very open dialogue because we both are taking care of our mental health. And when I told him that, he was like, well, where am I going to sleep? I was like, well, you can sleep in my office, but like, I'm going to be working like all day. So like, I'm going to have to kick you out of my office and you like, but like, and he's like, okay, I'll take care of Stevie, my dog, Stevie. He's like, I'll just take care of Stevie while you're working. And I'm like, great. Thank you. Now he knows.
Yeah, you got a dog sitter.
Now, like, he's going to feel good because he's able to help out in his own way. And he's going to physically be here for me. So, you know, it's like, I think it really speaks to the power in asking for what you need, because the people who love you are really going to show up and deliver.
That is a great point on asking for help too.
Yeah.
Right. That was a side effect of telling your managing expectations with your dad.
Exactly. I wasn't even expecting that. I didn't even think about that because like it worked out. So it's like,
but you could ask for help. Like you could have also that situation had a friend or had somebody who was, you know, if your dad wasn't coming up and going to be right there, who could come. Can you take Stevie for a couple hours? Like remembering it's so easy to forget to reach for some help and just ask for a little help when you're in the throes of these big things.
And I know as the closer I get to launch day, I'm going to need a lot of help from a lot of, you know, like, I'm probably going to call you the day of the event and need something from you
and I'll be there.
You know,
whatever you need.
This is how it's going to be.
I'll be downstate at my friends in Chelsea. So.
Downstate, exactly. Do you have any songs for? So energy, I'm thinking one of Drake's very very early songs might even be his first energy. I don't think I can quote the lyrics.
Okay.
They're very not safe for work.
Yeah. there is a song, a really old club song called High Energy that I should look up who sang that, but it was like one of these like 90s club tunes like that nobody would know. It was a really random thing, but it was called High Energy and the lyric was "Your love is lifting me." So I'm gonna have to find it. But I had been thinking about Music Minute. I've been thinking about like when you're getting yourself in place and like, and when you're trying to calm your mind about what song or what you listen to do that. And for me, like when I've got to do a sort of mood shift, there are two songs that my friends and I refer to as the happy song, each of them in their own way. One set of friends, the happy song is Blue Sky by the Almonds, which is always like a total lift. And with my other friends, the happy song is This Must Be the Place by the Talking Heads.
Dude, anything by the Talking Heads would get me in a good mood. It would really get me. There's just something about David Byrne's weirdness that just really speaks to me. I mean, unsurprising, but Nick, my partner Nick, recently asked, he was like, what would your song be if you had to walk? Like if you were a wrestler, you know, what's your intro song? And
yeah,
I don't know my real answer, but the first thing I thought of was the clip from Prince Harry's audiobook when he's talking about having a frostbitten penis.
Oh my God.
Because he calls it his todger. And I was like, that's what's going to get me amped up when I go out, when I get ready for my book tour. I'm going to be like backstage and listening to Prince Harry.
Oh my God, that's great. Something, right? Like if you got I think music or a clip, listening to something like that, like just to like, you know, make that shift in your mind.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. What would yours like? I'm putting you on the spot. If you were a wrestler, what would your amp up song be?
If I were a wrestler, my amp up song would be, God, what do I listen to? You know what I do a lot for like amping up when I'm going out on a walk I listened to You Could Be Mine by Guns N' Roses.
Okay, that's a good one. Yeah.
It gets me going. It definitely gets me going. But my all-time favorite song is Give Me Shelter by The Stones. So a lot of times I start out with that.
I mean,
that's, but I like a little GNR to walk into. Welcome to the Jungle is too trite.
Yeah. I mean, pretty, it's too trite. Yeah, it's, but I like You Could Be Mine. Yeah. Also, My
it's
Michelle.
It's a good one to get going. And also, I, for some reason, I identify with songs about a druggy woman. Like, I like a druggy woman in a song. It helps.
I can't
me.
Imagine why you would identify.
I know.
Like
I identify.
That.
I don't know why, but I like it.
So hopefully this episode reminds you to really budget your energy, take stock of the people, places, and things that drain your energy, the people, places, and things that fill your cup. These are all tools that will absolutely help you take sobriety or sober curiosity one day at a time, right, Lisa?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And until next week, have a good weekend. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening. We hope you like what you heard. If so, please hit subscribe and consider rating and reviewing us so others can find us. Tawny, how can our listeners find you?
You can find me at Tawny M. Lara on all of the social medias. You can find my blog, sobrietyparty.com. Lisa, how can we find you and your amazing book?
My book is Girl Walks Out of a Bar, and it is available at bookstores everywhere and online. And you can find me at lisasmithadvisory.com. And I'm on social media at Girl Walks Out. Thanks for listening.